go. All right, we're going to continue down this beautiful road of coming to know the person of the Holy Spirit even more. Listen to that transformation that happened in that man's life, all because of he was, he became connected to God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. I think it's, I think it would be really helpful for all of us to just as a habit start to refer to him as God the Holy Spirit. You know, just continually saying it that way so that we value him correctly. I didn't hear that. Yes. Yes, I know. That's true. That probably is a lot of the reason why we don't do that is because we do like short names, etc. But I'm just saying as a practice, even if it's just for a while for yourself, I started a practice several years ago. Every single morning when I wake up, I address the Holy Spirit. And it's now it's not really even something I think about doing. It's literally like breathing to me when I wake up in the morning. I wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. You know, I actually start off saying good morning to the Father. I say a few things to him, and I say good morning to Jesus. I say a few things to him, and then I say good morning, Holy Spirit, and then I really just kind of camp out there for a while. And I just like reminding myself every single day of who he is to me. I thank him for dwelling with me and in me, that he is my God, and I bow before him, and that he leads me into all truth. And I try and say it a little bit differently, even though I say the same things. I try and say it a little differently to keep it from becoming rote to me, and I want it to remain fresh, so I just say it a little bit differently. Sometimes I say, you lead me into all truth. Other times I'll say, you teach me everything that's worth knowing, you know. Saying things like that, you know. And in the same way, I think it'd just be a good practice to refer to him as God, the Holy Spirit. And that is probably one of the main points that I'm trying to accomplish in your hearts right now through this teaching, is to bring the Holy Spirit up to his proper place of recognition in your life. Because if you do that, and if I do that, what happens is we come into agreement with the truth. He is who he is, regardless of whether we recognize him as such. What we're doing is bringing ourselves into agreement with what is true. And as is the case with any truth from heaven, when we come into agreement with the truth isn't moving. The truth is where it is. We can be off to the left or to the right. But when we bring ourselves into agreement with the truth, can anyone tell me what happens? What's that? Yes, it sets us free. I was going to say it a different way, but that's the result, is the power of heaven comes, which sets us free. It does all these things. It heals us. It, you know, it brings wisdom, all these things when we come into alignment with truth. So what we're wanting to accomplish here is just to come into agreement with what is true about the Holy Spirit. And so just referring to him as God, the Holy Spirit, for even if it's just for a season, not that we should ever stop it, I mean, doing it a lot for a season, I think will go a long way in just helping us, you know, bring in proper thinking about him. So let us begin. I'm going to pray here real quick, because I really just want God's anointing, and this is such an important message. Father God, we pray right now for this message, Lord, that it would be anointed by you, that all of our hearts and minds right now would be prepared by your Spirit to receive this truth from heaven. Oh God, let it change us. Let it renew our minds. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened right now as it relates to God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this is your service. We are your people. You are our God. We bow before you, and we ask you right now to move freely among us. Enlighten our hearts to understand you, that we would come into a closer fellowship, closer communion with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and therefore receive it. For all the promises of God are yea and amen, someone said. All right, so I'm going to just read a few things to you that I wrote down about the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to pick up back with where I took off last week. Last week, if you recall, I said there were four things I wanted to share with you about the Holy Spirit. And I was going to expound on those. Well, since you guys didn't let me finish last week, and I had another week to work on it, I now have 18 things I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit. What's that? It was 16 last night. Got two more last night laying in bed. I am now up to 18. So I was going to try and do the four because it was like an overarching. And the more, since I had more time to kind of meditate on it, I realized I just can't leave these other things out. I kept bringing more and more and more in, and it just kept growing. And I was like, and he's this, and he's that, and he's this, you know. So we now have 18. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so before I get back into the list of what is now 18, I just want to say a few things to you about the Holy Spirit. The scripture, and these things I'm going to go into more in depth further down the road, whether it's next week, the week after, whatever. I'll go into more in depth. So I'm not going to give you scriptures to support what I'm about to say right now. Just know there are scriptures to support everything I'm saying. Everything I get from scripture. I'm just not going to take the time to give you the scriptures right now because I have too much else to give you scriptures on. All right, so let me just say these things to you about the Holy Spirit. The scriptures reveal these things to us, that the Holy Spirit is a person. It refers to him in personal terms, meaning he is not an impersonal force. For example, the scriptures tell us that he leads us, that he guides us. Those aren't exactly the same. There's a difference between the two. But he leads us, he guides us, that he teaches us. There's actual scriptures that say every one of these. And he teaches us, that he comforts us, that he intercedes on our behalf. These are not the attributes of a force, of just a general force. The scriptures also reveal to us that he has emotions, that he can be grieved. For someone to be grieved, it has to be a person. You don't grieve. Grieve is an emotion. Yes, you don't grieve trees. You can't grieve a rock. Grief is an emotion, and therefore the fact that we can grieve the Holy Spirit means he is a person. The Bible reveals that he has an intellect and a will. There are scriptures that clearly tell us that he is very intelligent, knows all things, can reveal all things to you, and that he has a will that we can push against and he will yield. That's another thing the scriptures tell us about him, is that he will yield to our will. There are many places throughout the scriptures where it says the Holy Spirit said to so-and-so. So he speaks to individual people and tells them specific things to do and to say. The Bible says that he can be sinned against. How many of you know you cannot sin against just some force? That is a person-to-person offense to sin against someone. It also says that he can be lied to. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. All of these are attributes of a person. Just want to kind of bring those to our attention. And also, the scriptures revealed to us his deity in many, many, many ways, but I'm just going to give you a couple. One is that it gives him the title of Jehovah. Two places I used last week was Isaiah, I think it's chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, if I remember correctly, and Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33. In those scriptures, it calls him Lord. In the New Testament, we see, I pulled out the scriptures in Acts 28 and Hebrews chapter 10 that refers to those two places in Isaiah 6 and Jeremiah 31. And it says, the Holy Spirit said these words, and it quotes this very scripture. So we know the New Testament reveals to us that that was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and the word in the Old Testament referring to him is Adonai and Yahweh. So the Holy Spirit is Adonai, and he is Yahweh. In Genesis, the Holy Spirit is referred to, the word used referring to him is Elohim. Elohim, I'm not sure if it's Elo, I think it's Elohim. Elohim, he is Elohim. He is Adonai. He is Jehovah. He is called Lord, both in old and new. It says in Corinthians that where it says, the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. Well, I thought Jesus was Lord. He is. And so is the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord. So when you pray and you hear from God, now I'm going to go into my 18 things. The number one thing I said to you last week is that he is the God that you hear. So when you pray and you hear God speak to you, one of the first times I heard the Lord, it wasn't the first, the first time I heard the Lord was the day I got saved. And the Lord said these very words to me, which doesn't sound like even good grammar, so it would make you question that it was the Lord, but this is exactly what he said to me. Dawn is with me, stop being angry with me. I don't know if that sounds like bad grammar, but it's like, Dawn is with me. He was referring to my brother who was killed a few years earlier, and I was hurting, deeply, deeply, deeply hurting over this whole thing. And I was concerned about where he was, and I was concerned about the fact that even if I wanted to give my life to God, I was in a church service for the first time since my brother's death, so it had been several years. And I was concerned, I was feeling convicted, like I really want to give my life to the Lord, but at the same time, if he's the one that killed my brother, I don't want anything to do with God. But I think I've come to the place of believing maybe that's all messed up in my thinking, but I've been kind of cursing God for years because I've been so angry at him, thinking he killed my brother, that I don't think he'd want anything to do with me. And I'm concerned about where's my brother, because he didn't know the Lord as far as I knew, so if he didn't know the Lord, he's probably in hell, and if he's in hell, I don't want to go to heaven because I want to be with him. I mean, literally, that's the way I was thinking. And so I was concerned, where's Don and how does God feel towards me? And the Lord spoke to me audibly and said, Don is with me. Stop being angry with me. You know, I didn't mean to get off on that, but and that's the day I gave my life to the Lord. So, you know, we hear from the Lord. And then weeks later, I was trying to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. I was reading this book, and then I was in a library, and there was no one in the room that I went into. I went into a room that was empty on purpose, so I wouldn't be disturbed. I'm one of those, I can't really concentrate if there's noise around me. Some people do great with it. I can't. I need silence. So I went into a room where there was no one. I'm reading, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Actually, I just said it accurately right there. I was going to say the Lord, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, speak to the girls behind you. Well, that's really odd, because there is no girl behind me. So I just kind of ignore that and I go on. But I mean, it stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me of my reading because I mean, I heard it, but not like that audible voice heard it. I mean, it was in my mind, but it was a strong, strong thought. One of these days I'm actually teach on hearing the voice of God. I look forward to that. But anyhow, so I just went back, tried to go back to reading and I hear it again. Speak to the girl that's behind you. Well, this time I'm at least going to confirm what I already know, that there is no girl behind me. So I turn around and look and there's a girl behind me. How in the world she got there, I have no clue. The door's over at this angle. I would have seen anyone come into the room. Even if I was reading, I would have seen that, but I did not see it, let alone hear. So anyhow, what I want to say is when we hear God, when we hear the Lord, the reality is who you're hearing is God the Holy Spirit. That's who you're hearing. In Isaiah 6, the example I gave you last week, and I didn't expound on it as much as I would like to have, if you'll notice, and you go back and read it yourself, you'll notice that it describes, Isaiah is saying, I was caught up in the Spirit, and I saw a throne, and on him, he had a robe that filled the temple, and he goes on to describe that. Well, that's the Father. So, but wait a minute, it's talking about the Father, and yet in the New Testament, it says that it's the Holy Spirit that was speaking through the prophet. Well, if you keep reading, it says he saw this. And then he heard the voice of the Lord. The prophet heard the voice. Well, that scripture, and then the voice speaks, that section is what we pick up in the New Testament in Hebrews that says that was the Holy Spirit. That's one of many, many, many examples that teaches us something. That the Father, like you can see the Father, and then when you hear a voice, it's the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Not 100% of the time, but the vast majority of the time. As a rule, what you and I are hearing is the Holy Spirit. I think that's all I'm going to say about that because I already spent time on that last week. The next thing, who is the Holy Spirit to you and to me? Number one, he is the God that you hear. Number two, he brings you and me, he brings you into the fullness of God. I gave you the scriptures on that last week. The two in particular that really point that out is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just wrote down verse 12 here, but really it picks up in about, I think about verse 10 and goes through 14, really says it all. So 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. And another one is Ephesians chapter 3. And the specific verse is verse 19, but again, grab probably about four scriptures previous to that, builds it, where it talks about it. He, the Holy Spirit, brings us into the fullness of God. And the way that says it is, the thing that brings us into the fullness of God is the knowledge of the love of God for us. The more we come to know how much He loves us and about His outrageous love towards us, that knowledge, the revelation of His love is what brings us into the fullness of God. It's when we realize how much He loves us that it breaks off the yokes that keep us in bondage and brings us into His fullness. The fullness of His joy, His peace, His goodness, all the things that we desire, all the things that bring us up to the place that God has called us to be, where we soar in life, where we are free, it's really the love of God, the revelation of His love that does it. Now, any number of revelations of truths in the Bible will do it in part, but all of them are pieces of God's love. Every one of them is really just breaking off a piece of God's love and describes a part of His love for us, like wisdom. Any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Well, right there it just sounds like, well, He's going to give me wisdom if I want wisdom. But do you realize that's an expression of His love? He's saying, I want to give you wisdom for your life. Why? Because I love you. It's an expression of His love. Everything, every truth we learn is just a piece of His love towards us. So that verse of scriptures in Ephesians chapter 3 says that I pray that you would come to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I want you to know something you can't get with your head. It passes that knowledge. You have to get it by revelation knowledge. Four verses earlier, I think, give or take, says, I pray that God would strengthen you in the inner man by his Spirit. Jump down four verses. That, so that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You have to study that and you realize that's what it's all, you put those two together. He's saying, the whole prayer is, you need to know the love of God so you can come into his fullness, and it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. So, the Holy Spirit brings us into the fullness of God. Apart from him, we're dead. We're dead in the water. We can't do it. We cannot enter into the fullness of God. We have to have the Holy Spirit. That's who he is to you. He is the one who will bring you into everything you want in life. Number three, he is your, now this is something we didn't get to last week, so I'm moving into number three. He is your ability, and by the way, I have no intention of getting through all 18 today. So be at peace. You're like, I've got a roast in the oven, man. Number three, he is your ability to move and have your being with God. I think I did mention this one, but I didn't get into it. The Holy Spirit is your, I'm trying to personalize it when I say your, but it's, you know, I could easily say he's our, but I really, I'm trying to make this as personal as I can for you. So that's the only reason I'm saying your. I'm not saying he's not mine. I don't know. He's 100% my ability to move and have my ability, have my being with God. But I just want to keep saying your for your sake. He is your ability, Joe, to move with God. He's your ability, Alex, to have your being with him. The Holy Spirit is the agent that makes it possible for you to have your being with God, to be one with him. He's yours, Brian. The Holy Spirit and Brian. I know. I don't mean to do that every time. I'm so sorry. Yes, exactly. That would make it a lot easier. It's your fault. I'll just go with Claire. How's that? No. Brian and Brian and Claire, very seriously, the Holy Spirit is your ability to move with God. Apart from him, you cannot move with God. Your ability to live and move and have your being with God is impossible apart from him, the Holy Spirit. Now, some scriptures to bring that out. Let me just, this is going to take a little bit of thinking on your part, so listen up. If you need to jump up, do a couple jumping jacks right now. Whatever it takes. Hang with me. I thought it was Jesus that gave me access to the Father. I thought that my ability to be with the Father and commune with the Father was because of Christ. It's because I placed faith in Christ, right? Having been justified, Romans 5:1, by faith, we now have access. Having been justified, we have access. Yeah. Having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Well, we got justified through Christ. So I thought it was through Christ that I have my being, my access, my communion with the Father. Absolutely, yes, 100%. But do you know that it is the Holy Spirit who places you and me in Christ? You cannot come into Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. He is the one who puts you and me in Christ. So not most of the time in the Bible, no one verse tells you the whole story. So you have to take study of all scriptures and put them together. But the reality is, it's the Holy Spirit who puts us in Christ. He does the regenerative work in our heart that causes the new birth. He is the cause of every new birth, every person who becomes born again, that is an activity of the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit does that. Jesus has never caused one person to become born again. Not one person. The Father has never caused one person to become born again. They both sit back and watch the Holy Spirit do that work. We are regenerated in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 tells us, as well as other scriptures. So, if you're tracking with me, if you must have be, let me see how I want to say this. In order to have C, you must have B. And if in order to have B, you must have A, then it is true that you must have A in order to have what? C. Woo, good job. You hung in there with me. Yeah. If you must have B in order to have C, and you must have A in order to have B, then it is 100% an accurate statement to say you must have A in order to have C. In order to have a relationship with God, you must have Christ in your heart by faith. But in order to have Christ, you must have the work of the Holy Spirit who puts you in Christ. Therefore, in order to have a relationship with the Father, you must have the work of the Holy Spirit who puts you in Christ. All right. Therefore, the rest of these truths are true. Yes. Yes. That is absolutely correct. She said the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens after you're baptized into Christ. I don't know if you meant to use that terminology, but that's exactly accurate. That's true. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says we were all baptized into one body. You know, the one I told you about, it gets misinterpreted as being the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not what that verse is saying. It says we were baptized. It says by the Spirit, we were baptized into one body. That is the new birth. So the Holy Spirit causes us to be baptized. And right there it says it. The Spirit, by the Spirit, you are baptized into the body. In fact, that's a perfect verse for the very thing I'm saying. It's the Holy Spirit who puts us in Christ. That verse says it. By the Spirit, we are placed into the body, right? So yes, we are baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit. So if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Then, I can't remember what the question was. Now, I think I'm on the same track of your question. Right, I know that, but was that your question? What was your question? Yes, okay, absolutely. Yes, the Holy Spirit, yeah, he's working in you even before you become born again. That's one of the things he was sent for. He's come to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not yet believe on me. So he convicts the world of sin, of their sin, saying you need a Savior. Once they come into Christ, then he convicts or convinces of righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer, you who are born again, no longer see me. So the Holy Spirit, I've been convincing you of who you are. I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit will come and convince you of who you are in the heart of the Father. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So just saying those three. And the first thing is he convicts the world of sin. He draws them to the Father. They then say, yes, I want this. I want to accept Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit moves on that person, takes out the old man. Remember, we had those up here with the three spirits, soul, and body. The one in the black, Andy, representing, went, was killed. The Holy Spirit takes the old man out and breathes his own spirit into that person, and they become born again. They now have the Spirit of God. They have the Holy Spirit in them. Remember Jesus when he met with the 12 disciples right after he rose from the dead and went to the Father, and then he came back down. He walked into the room all the disciples were. It says he breathed on them and said, receive what? The Holy Spirit. So they're born again by the Holy Spirit. Then 50 days later, they're in the upper room, and Jesus said earlier, 10 days earlier than that, 40 days after that event, Jesus says to them, you don't go anywhere until you receive the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me, because he had talked to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then 10 days later, which is 50 days from that event of them getting the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost comes, and they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. All right, so. So it's the Holy Spirit who puts us in Christ, which then gives us access to the throne of God. Therefore, when Jesus says, for example, in John 15, 5, I believe it is, he says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Again, that verse doesn't spell it all out, but we can now say, apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Because it's the Holy Spirit who puts us in Christ. Jesus is saying an absolute accurate statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's not just telling you everything right there, as is the case in most verses in the Bible. But what he could have just as well said, that apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot be in me, and without me, you can do nothing. That's what he was saying. But he just didn't say the whole thing. He just said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So, therefore, here's what we know. And I'm just going to mention a few things that we cannot do. We cannot pray. And I mean real prayer, where you're entering into communion with the Father. We cannot pray apart from the Holy Spirit. We cannot read the Word of God and understand it apart from the Holy Spirit. We cannot heal people apart from the Holy Spirit. That is one of many of the gifts of what? The Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, who while on earth was here as a man, so that he would be our example and that he would be our substitute. In order to be a substitute for us, he had to be man on the earth. So he stripped himself of his deity. He set it aside for us so that he could come here as a man, and he had to live his life as a man with all the temptations that come upon a man, all the limitations that are on a man being mankind. And that's the life that he lived. And so he himself also could do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. And so up until the age of 30, not one miracle was performed by him. And then we see in the Gospels, John chapter 2, you can see it, and more clearly to some degree, in Luke chapter 3, I think it's verse 17, it says that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he was baptized in water, and the Spirit came and descended upon him like a dove. That's, in fact, I want you to see this. Go to Luke chapter 3. Take a look at this with me. This is really important, because when we see this in the life of Jesus, how much more do we know it is true of us? I find this just so powerful, so enlightening. It just really emphasizes to me my absolute need of the Holy Spirit. When I look at my Lord Jesus and realize he could do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. So we see here in Luke chapter 3, I think I said 17, that's not right, that must be John, but anyhow, in Luke chapter 3, I see it, I'm just not sure where I want to start. Well, let's just start at verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, it says this, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while, this is John the baptism, John's baptism, right, the baptism of water, and while he prayed, The heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, is the next statement. He began his ministry. Now jump over to chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that's where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So immediately after getting baptized, he's led by the Spirit. Notice he's being led. Remember I said this is one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us. He leads us. He led the Holy Spirit. By the way, I think you all heard that I'm taking my month break soon, that I was going to Columbia. I am no longer going to Columbia. The reason I'm not going to Columbia is because I was forbidden by the Holy Spirit from going. I was led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, I just thought I'd mention that. It was a good segue. I think I'm going to go to Arizona and hang out with a lifelong friend of mine for a couple weeks in Arizona. So still praying about that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I'm doing. I have peace right now on that. I did not have peace. That was it. It was just, that's how he led me. He didn't speak to me per se, but the way that he will lead all of us 98% of the time is by the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I just kept trying to make reservations of these different apartments I was going to rent and all that. And I just had no peace. And finally, I just stopped. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm fighting through this. I know this. But I struggled with it for like 2 weeks. So I'm like, surely he's not opposed to me going to Columbia. You know, he knows how much I love it, and I've got time. I should go, right? But apparently, there's a problem with it. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is I don't even know why. I mean, I could just speculate 1,000 reasons why. I mean, maybe something was going to happen to me while I was down there. Maybe I'm supposed to meet someone in Arizona or here in Columbus or whatever. If I'd gone there, I would have missed it. Whatever. It doesn't matter. We just want to be led by the Spirit. Because he wants to bless us. And if I want to be blessed, I need to follow his leading. Otherwise, I'm living the life of a fool. Here I am. I know as far as my nose. And here I have the Holy Spirit who knows all things. He's saying, no, you don't want to go there. Go here. And I go, no, I want to go there. I mean, that's stupid. So anyhow. All right. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing afterward. When he had ended, he was hungry. I'm not going to go into the temptation. That's not what I'm teaching on. So jump over to verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And then it says, then Jesus, this is after the 40 days in the wilderness, then Jesus returned in what? The power of the Spirit. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Okay, good. Now, look at verses 16 through 19. I don't know if all those will fit on the screen there, Nancy. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and 19. If it looks really crowded and all that, just go with that 18 and 19. But I'll read with you starting in verse 16. Luke chapter 4. Look at this, people. This is awesome about the ministry of Jesus. So now he just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he searches for this. He found the place. He's doing this on purpose. He's looking for a selection of scripture. And he's going to read it to them. Now, they've read this scripture many times over hundreds of years. And it's a prophetic scripture about the Messiah. Jesus hunts for this selection of scripture and then reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who was upon Jesus? The Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. And then look what happens when you have the Holy Spirit on you. This is what you're now able to do. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. Someday I'll teach on that. What is the anointing of God? Let me just tell you real simply what the anointing of God is. It's God on flesh. That's the anointing. It's God on flesh, enabling flesh to do what flesh otherwise could not do. It's God on flesh. And how is that? What part, what person of the Godhead is on flesh? The Holy Spirit. Every time you read about the anointing and it identifies one of the Godhead, always it identifies him as the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Acts 10:38, went about doing good. Jesus being anointed of the Father. How's that go? Jesus, anointed of the Father by the Holy Spirit, I think. Oh, no. I shouldn't bring it up unless I know it. Okay, now that I said, I got to do it. I got to read it. Here it is. Let me say it just because I have the mic. I want it online. So Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Do you see it again? The Holy Spirit coming on you is the anointing. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So back here it says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me because he has anointed me. To do what? To preach, to proclaim liberty, etc. To do everything. To set the captives free, to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus himself says, it is the Holy Spirit on me that enables me to do these things. And then later he goes on to say to the people, this day, this saying is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, that floored them. This day it's fulfilled? Hello? I mean, he just declared himself to be the Messiah. And so they wanted to take him and throw him off a cliff, and they tried to do it. So you see right there that the Lord Jesus Christ himself did nothing until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he was anointed to do the work. And in John chapter 3, in that particular gospel, it picks up what his first miracle was, which was turning the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did while in Cana. It was the first miracle that he did. And that also, in that chapter, you see earlier, in the previous chapter, he just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, these gospels are the same account. So he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, goes in the wilderness, receives, goes through the 40 days of temptation, then he comes back in power, goes into the temple, declares that the anointing is on him now to do what he needs to do for the ministry, and then he goes to the wedding of Cana and turns water into wine. That's the order of events. First miracle after he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let it suffice to say, Jesus himself could not do any of these miracles without the Holy Spirit, and neither can you or I. We need the Holy Spirit to do these things. Yes, Daniel? Yes, sir. This is the day that I'm taking questions. Because you guys were so faithful to come in this weather. In fact, could I administrate, I want you to just, if you would, just record all the names that are here, because we now know who the faithful are. Just teasing those of you who are listening online. Okay, go ahead. You are the faithful ones too, yes. Praise the Lord. That's right, you're listening online. You are the faithful. Amen. Go ahead. Yes. 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 Can you have the Spirit and not be in Christ? No. That's all I'm going to say to that. I don't want to teach on that. I'm going to be there for a while on that one. So, but no. You cannot have the Spirit and not be in Christ. The only reason the Holy Spirit is going to go into you is to cause the new birth. Because you've put faith in Christ. And the only, I'm going to say it this way. The Holy Spirit could not come into you if your sins had not been forgiven, or he would kill you instantly. So you have to have accepted Christ. And the blood of Christ is appropriated towards you, washing away your sin. And then the Holy Spirit is able to come in and do regenerative work because of that. Because you've been forgiven. Right. There are two major doctrines of thought on that, and so I just don't want to take the time to expound on that. Yeah. So, let me continue with, where was I? So, apart from Him, we can do nothing apart from Him, and some of those examples are being able to pray. The reason that I say that, you cannot pray. Now, an unbeliever can pray to God. You have to if you already get saved. What I'm talking about is entering into communion, prayer, not to God, but with God. That cannot be done because the only people who have access, let me say it this way, you must be a child of God to have access to the throne of God where you can walk in. Romans 5, 1 and 2 clearly say this, that it's only through Christ that you have access. It's faith in Christ that gives us access into this grace in which we stand, right? So you only a child of God can enter into the throne of God, and it's only someone who has placed faith in Christ that becomes a child of God. You know, a lot of people will say to you, like if you're out talking to people in the street, and they'll say, well, we're all children of God. That is not accurate. People say it all the time, well, we're all children of God. And I tell them, no, really, that's not true. What is true is that we're all creation. We all are created by God. We're all God's creation. But we're not all God's children. It's a privilege to become a child of God. And the only way that you can become a child of God is by placing faith in His Son. If you would put up John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12 says this very clearly. One of many scriptures that, you know, explain this whole process, but or this reality. John 1:12 says this, but as many as received Him, talking about receiving Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. You're not a child of God when you're born into this earth. You're God's creation, but you're not His child. He really has no obligation to you. He is not your Lord. Who is your Lord? Huh? That's right. As yes, that's good. As unappetizing as that is to hear, the devil is your father if you have not accepted Christ in your life. That's exactly right. That's right. He said, they said that they were of God, and He said, if you were of God, you would hear My words. And He says, but you are of your father, the devil. How many know they weren't really happy with that? You are of your father, the devil. And Corinthians tells us that the devil is the god of this world. He became the god of this world in the Garden of Eden. And so it's only after we denounce Him and accept Christ into our life that we switch lordships and Jesus becomes our Lord. So, you are not a child of God in any way, shape, or form until we accept Christ in our life, and then we are given the right to become children of God. All right? So, only a child of God has access to the throne, and you only get that by a regenerative work by the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'd like you to see that scripture, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Take a quick look at that. Wow. I only got to one more today. We might be here till 2015. Amen. Yes, amen. I am kind of covering a lot with this one point. A lot of other things I'll be saying, there'll be some redundancy in it because I'm saying a lot with this one point, this whole issue of having access. So Titus chapter 3, I'll start at verse 4, but we can just have 5 up there. Verse 4 says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now, how did he save us? And he gives a little description of the process. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Some translations say by the Holy Spirit, which either one is accurate, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, having been justified by faith, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs of the hope. So right here it says that he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who did the work that put us in Christ. The reading of the word, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, clearly says that it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to discern the Word of God. Apart from Him, you can read the Word of God all you want, and you're not going to understand it. You'll have some basic understanding, but you're not going to get the revelation that is necessary to set you free. It takes the Holy Spirit to discern, to teach you and me what the Word of God is saying. It's a spiritual book. All of the books on the planet, all other books on the planet, 100% of all of the books on the planet are natural books. Only the Bible is the spiritual book on the earth. And it takes the Holy Spirit in order to be able to understand it. We also cannot heal anyone apart from the Holy Spirit. So these are all under, he is your ability to move and have your being with God. Yes, last question, because I'm way over. Both. It depends on what I'm referring to, so I'm glad you brought it up. I've thought a few times about bringing this up. Many of these things that I'm talking about, all it requires is being born again, having the Holy Spirit. Some of the things, like healing the sick, requires baptism in the Holy Spirit, casting out devils, any of the power gifts. That requires the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But a born-again child of God has full access to the throne of God to pray, has full ability to interpret the Word of God. However, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will increase your ability to pray and increase your ability to understand the Word of God. But you have full access as a child of God to the throne of God once you're born again, even if you never get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm glad you asked that question. Last week I remembered afterwards, I didn't clarify that point, and I would have done it again this week, so thank you. All right, I'm going to end it there because of time, and we'll get to the other 15. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, amen. Glory. All right. Let's pray and believe God for the sealing of this word. You know, the Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 4 that there is a real act of a work of the enemy, that he will come and try and take a word that's been sown into your heart out of your heart. He'll try and block it from you, however, through lies, deception, events that might happen in your life to say, see, that's not true, or whatever. Or just cause you to just not remember. I don't know all of how it's done, but it says in Mark chapter 4 that the thief comes immediately to steal the word that's been sown. That's why I pray this prayer every Sunday. So let's pray this in faith. Father God, we thank you for the word that we received, the truth that went forth today, and we pray right now for your sealing of this word by the Holy Spirit, that it would take root in our hearts and would grow and bring forth a hundredfold return in our life, that it would continue to grow and become a great tree, Father God, that others may nest under our shade, Father. Father, we thank you for this word, which is able to transform our soul in the name of Jesus. We pray your blessing on it. We thank you for it. Father, I pray your blessing on everyone here today as they go about their way. I pray your divine protection over them as they drive on these roads today. Father, I pray just for a very special blessing that this week, Lord, would be anointed of the Holy Spirit. Father, they would be anointed to do certain things this week, that you would bring divine appointments. I pray divine appointments into every one of their lives today, Father. that throughout this week they would have divine appointments, meeting people, and that you want to speak something to, you want to impart something to, and that the anointing would be there, Father, that they would impart manna from heaven to those people, Father, in the name of Jesus. We receive that, Lord, by faith. Amen. Amen. Anyone who needs prayer, please come up. Bless you all for coming in this weather. The thought did, you know, enter my mind for about 1 second about canceling the service, but, you know, I didn't even know how we could do that effectively, and I didn't want even one person to show up and be able to get in because the door is locked and all that. So I just figured I'll come and preach to whoever shows up. So bless you all. I'm pleased to see how many made it. God bless you. See you next week.